We turn in God's Word this morning to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, Jewish Christians, chapter 13. The text is verse 17. We read first the whole chapter. This is the word of the Lord. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar. Remember, he's writing to Hebrew Christians who were being persecuted by their Jewish, unbelieving family members and neighbors. And now he contrasts the altar in the temple with the altar God's people have in Christ. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp, outside the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. The text is verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, in previous years on the installation of new office bearers, we've had sermons that have dealt with the calling of elders and deacons. We had one sermon in particular on the calling of elders, and we've had another sermon in particular on the office of deacon. In the last years, we've also had sermons dealing with other realities related to the work of the offices. But we've never had a sermon that focused specifically on the calling of the congregation herself in relation to her office bearers. And so this morning, in the interest of bringing forth the whole counsel of God, we have a sermon that focuses on that reality, the duty of the congregation with respect to her office bearers. Now, I want to emphasize that point because the impression could very easily be given that a minister preaches on a verse like this simply in order to push his own agenda. Maybe things aren't going well in a congregation. The minister wants to rebuke the congregation, and so he picks this verse to preach on. Well, that's not the motivation or purpose at all this morning. In fact, I feel rather comfortable that there won't be that impression that is left with you this morning either. The motivation is simply to bring before you another passage of Scripture that relates to the installation of office bearers. We focused on the elder's duty. We've focused on the deacon's duty. And this morning we focus now on the congregation's duty. Even with all that being said, the text before us is still a somewhat difficult or intimidating passage to treat. Because, besides what I've already said, there are realities in the world around us that make the instruction of this passage somewhat difficult to receive. And I can mention three things very quickly. First, there is the reality that there are many scandals today involving those in positions of authority, even in the church. And it's a sad thing, but we hear it on a rather regular basis. Ministers and elders who are manipulative, who were dishonest, who were corrupt, or who were downright evil. And after hearing of these things in the news, you start to doubt and have misgivings about the idea of submitting to and obeying any spiritual leaders. And that's especially true if you grew up with that kind of mentality and attitude in your own home and family. That makes this passage a particularly sensitive text to preach on. Second, there is the pervasive attitude in our culture that you really shouldn't submit to anyone. Our society, our American culture, places ultimate value on individual freedom and autonomy, self-rule. I am ruler of myself, and except I break a law, I don't need to listen to anyone. Now that's an arrogant and entitlement attitude pervading our culture, but that attitude has a way of creeping into the members of the church. The idea of one mature adult submitting to the authority of another mature adult, not even related to him, sounds outrageous. That's an attack on my dignity, someone might say. Sometimes this attitude even infects the office bearers themselves so much so that they feel uncomfortable to do the very work Christ has called them to do because they've been influenced by this way of thinking. In addition to all of that, we as Reformed believers like to emphasize the reality of the office of all believers. We are jealous over our own office as believers and the calling that involves. And rightly so. But sometimes we emphasize that reality to the point where we end up minimizing our calling towards the office bearers, the special office bearers. All these things make this text a potentially sensitive text to preach on. And third, there is perhaps this reality. We struggle to keep before us the thought that the people whom God has given to serve us might also at the same time actually be the same people who are in positions of authority over us. It's hard sometimes to remember that the people whom God has given to serve us and wash our feet are also placed in a position of authority over us. And that even as they're called to serve us, we are called to obey them as they wash our feet. It's for all these reasons that the passage before us is a rather intimidating text to preach on. But it's also precisely for all these reasons that we need to hear faithful preaching on this kind of a passage and have God's Word faithfully opened before us. We take as our theme, submitting to our spiritual leaders. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, the meaning. Second, the reason. And third, the aim. Submitting to our spiritual leaders. Before we get to the main meaning of the words that the apostle uses, obey and submit, before we get into that, there are a few things that need to be emphasized. And we emphasize these things in order that we might approach the command from the proper perspective. And the first thing we need to emphasize is this: the calling to submit to our office bearers and the calling to obey is simply part of the Christian life. What I mean is this: there's nothing actually that's exceptional in the passage before us. As I just said, in our culture, it is unusual for one mature adult to place himself under the authority of another mature adult. But for a Christian, this is nothing exceptional. We experience this reality everywhere we go. In fact, this is central to what defines a Christian. A Christian is one who submits himself to the yoke of Christ, the man, Jesus. Maybe the children know what a yoke is. A yoke is maybe a beam, a piece of wood that a farmer puts on an ox or on two oxen so that the farmer can control the oxen and lead them as he uses them to plow his field. And if an ox refuses to submit to the yoke, that ox was called stiff-necked. That's where we get the word, stiff-necked. He wouldn't submit to his master. In Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus says, "Submit to my rule, bow your necks to me as your master, and let me lead you and direct you in the good way you are to go." And in the church, Jesus calls us to submit to his yoke by submitting to the office bearers that he has placed in authority over us. And the reality is, there is no such thing as a Christian who is without spiritual authority over him. Every believer is to have spiritual authority over him. Every true Christian has the obligation to place himself in the membership of a local congregation and under the leadership and authority of the office bearers Christ has appointed, and then obey and submit to those office bearers. And to prove that point, we could look at the passage before us, Hebrews 13, verse 17. We could also take a whole sermon simply to walk through all the passages in the New Testament that speak of elders in the church being appointed and the calling that they have. But this is the reality. Every true Christian has the obligation to place himself as a member in a local instituted church. And because Christ has appointed elders to rule in the local churches, every true Christian has the obligation to submit himself to the elders of the local church. There is no exception. We are all equal in this. There is no Christian who should be without elders ruling over him. That idea is simply foreign to the Scriptures. That's the first thing. The second thing we need to emphasize is this: the calling that the elders have is to watch over the souls of the members of the church. And by the way, that's how we know that the apostle has elders in mind and not some other authority like civil government, because the apostle is emphasizing ruling over you and watching for your souls. That's the work of the elder. We'll treat this more in the second point of the sermon, but it's worth emphasizing already now. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. That's the calling of the elders. They must watch for the souls of the members of the congregation. And in the letter to the Hebrews, that's also how it really was. The apostle knows that the elders among this flock were good men. He writes to God's people and he says, obey your elders and submit to them because they are good men and they are faithful, watching for your souls. They are watching for your souls as those that must give an account. Not only must they do that, but that's what they are doing. They know your need, that these men are good men. They are men who will point you faithfully to Christ. They are men who will point you to see the love of God, the faithfulness and grace of God. These are men who will open the Scriptures to you and care for your souls in that way. They know your need for assurance of salvation. They know your need for forgiveness of sins. They know the struggles of life, the stresses and the anxieties. They know you may need a word of rebuke or admonition. And these men will watch for your souls and give you the kind of soul care you need. These are men who are watchmen on the walls of Zion, looking out for danger coming from the outside, watching out for false doctrine, and they will militate against that false doctrine. These are men who know the times, who know the temptations we face, and they warn you, admonish you, and rebuke you if necessary because they watch for your soul. These are men who are shepherding the flock by walking through the folds, keeping an eye on each of the sheep. That's what the apostle says in verse 17. Your elders are faithful elders. And that's the reality here too in this congregation. We must understand that and appreciate that. The elders who rule here care for your souls. They are not hirelings. They are not self-appointed men. We all know that. The reality is, these men probably saw the theme for the sermon this morning and probably shrunk back an inch in their seats. What a daunting task that God commands the congregation to obey and submit to these men. Who is sufficient unto these things? But the truth is, these men care for your soul. They care for your soul as fellow believers. They care for your souls as the representative of Christ who cares for your soul and who sees you. That's why the elders were already talking about family visitation last month. That's why the elders and deacons are excited about reading a new book on elders and deacons. They're constantly reading other literature. That's why elders and deacons are glad to give up time for you. They are, because they want to be what you need them to be. They want to do good for your souls. They want you to be spiritually happy and prosperous. They want to be instruments in the Redeemer's hand for your spiritual health and happiness. They want to be faithful in the callings they've been given. They want to be gifts for your spiritual walk. They want to serve for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the church of Christ. And we need to recognize that and appreciate that. The elders are faithful. And so with that being said, we see that there are really three things that we should emphasize. First, there is no such thing as a Christian who's not under spiritual authority. This calling to obey and submit to office bearers is simply part of Christ's calling for His people. Second, the calling that the elders have in the church is to watch over the souls of the members of the church. This is the way the elders rule. They watch for your souls. And third, the calling to obey and submit is a calling to obey and submit to faithful office bearers. It is faithful office bearers that the apostle has in mind. Elders and deacons who are holding fast the Word of God. Now with these things being emphasized, we can look at the meaning of these words in the passage. The calling that comes to us as members of the congregation is this: obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now the words the apostle uses here are striking. The word obey means literally to be persuaded, to listen. It means really it's to turn back on the person himself, to allow yourself to be persuaded. That's the idea. It's not the strong word for obey, hearken, but I think we could describe it as a softer word, a more personal word. Be willing to be persuaded by your elders. believe them that have the rule over you. Really, it can simply be translated like this: trust. That's really all it is. Trust those who have the rule over you. And the King James translates it as obey, because that's what you do when you trust someone who is in a position of authority over you. Trust your elders, and in that way, obey the good word that they bring you. The meaning is this: when the elders come to you with God's word, you need to give yourselves over to a teachable attitude. Put yourselves willingly under their instruction and allow yourself to be persuaded by their instruction. This is straight from the Scriptures, beloved, this exhortation. Now that's interesting, because it suggests that our natural inclination is quite in the opposite direction. The pastor is included in all of this too. The pastor, the elders bring us God's word, and our first inclination is to respond with an excuse, or to respond with an objection, or respond with an argument, or respond with another question, or respond with something else that sounds pretty biblical. And we won't actually allow ourselves to listen to and learn from the elders. No, when the elders bring you a word of rebuke, you need to let that rebuke persuade you to abandon maybe your sinful ways. When the elders bring you a word of comfort, you need to let that word of comfort persuade you to enjoy comfort and assurance. Maybe I can put it this way: when the word of God is brought to you, allow that word entrance into your heart so that it might have its sanctifying influence. That's the word obey. Then the apostle uses a second word, the word submit. And the word submit is similar. The word submit literally means give way to, yield to, resist no longer. It's a word that can be used when people are fighting, when you think of combatants in a fight. The word submit is a very powerful word that commands us to deliver ourselves over to, without reservation, the instruction we receive at the hands of our elders and pastor. And again, our natural tendency is to set ourselves up in opposition to them, as if maybe we are just as knowledgeable, if not more knowledgeable, than those whom God has appointed over us. And then we give the excuse, well, because that may be true, I don't need to listen to this person because I know more. In fact, I read a story this past week of a professor at a Christian college years ago who said he did not bother going to church anymore because he knew more than his minister, and he probably could say it better than his minister. And perhaps that was true. Evidently, this professor was a very gifted and knowledgeable man. But you see, the attitude of that professor was arrogant and completely wrong and unchristlike. This man was rejecting the very word of God we're looking at this morning. The man was not only arrogant, he was rebellious. But the reality is that same spirit dwells in all of us by nature. We all like to think we have a corner on the knowledge or a corner on the truth. We all like to think of ourselves as the ultimate authority in matters that pertain to my own life. This is what the verse is getting at. Put that attitude away from you. Yield yourself to the godly instruction and counsel of your minister and elders. When they bring you God's word, don't fight it. Don't try to grab other truths in the Bible to try to minimize the word that's being brought to you, the word that you actually need to hear. We have a way of doing that, don't we? If I know my Bible well and I'm a gifted man and I've had a good catechism upbringing, well then maybe I can use what I know to justify just about any kind of behavior I want to justify and excuse myself and shut off my ears to the instruction of anyone else. No. Listen to your elders. Trust their good advice. Yield yourselves to them. Don't be combative, but give way to the word of God. Don't be at war with those in authority over you. Don't try to fight them. Don't even want to fight them. Let them, as the representatives of Christ, have true authority in your life so that you actually listen. You actually listen and receive the instruction. Now notice these words, obey and submit. And notice this, they go together. Hebrews 13, verse 17 is saying this, be persuaded by them that have the authority over you. And in order to do this, you need to yield yourselves to them. They go together. Be persuaded. And in order to do that, you need to yield yourselves to them. Only when we yield to them will we be in that frame of mind where we can be persuaded by them. If we refuse to yield to them, you know what the result will be. We will never be persuaded either of the truth that they bring, nor will their word bring about a semblance of change in our lives. This is how people fall into the pit of destruction, beloved. This is how people are given over to Satan. This is how marriages are destroyed. This is how people's children are provoked to anger and are destroyed. This is how people make the lives of those around them to be a grief. And the apostle uses that word in the passage, a grief to your office bearers. These people never actually put themselves under authority with the proper spiritual humility that is required. The calling is simple. Humble yourselves under Christ's authority. See who the elders are as Christ's representatives, as those who care for your soul, and be thankful that they bring you God's word and submit yourself gladly to their instruction. Truly appreciate and truly be thankful for the words they give and for the care that they show. This needs to be our attitude as we sit under the preaching. That's the reality right now, as you're listening. This needs to be your attitude right now. Yield to this word of Christ. This needs to be our attitude during family visitation. This needs to be our attitude when we go back home and we meditate over the word that is brought to us. This needs to be our attitude in the privacy of our own homes and lives. Appreciate the words of Scripture that are brought to you and actually take them, receive them, and profit from them. That's the meaning of these words. And now we should ask, why? Why must we obey and submit to those who have the rule over us? And the answer the apostle gives is rather striking. We might be inclined to say, well, the simple fact is God has put elders in a position of authority over us, and so this is my calling before God. Well, that's true. But what we need to see is that in the passage there's something more, there's something deeper involved. We don't just submit for the sake of submitting, but there has to be always, in all things, love involved. Whenever I do something, I need to do it in love. Love needs to be involved in the Christian church, in the Christian home, in the Christian marriage. The heart issue comes down to love. Why do I behave a certain way? Not just because I'm told to do it. That's just external. No, but because I have love towards this person or that person. And that is what the apostle is emphasizing in the passage. We must obey and submit to those who have the authority over us, not just because they have the authority over us, although that is very true, but notice what the apostle says. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. That's not only how the elders are watching for your soul seriously as those who realize they have to give an account, but this is also why you need to obey them and submit to them. That's why we allow ourselves to be instructed by them. That's why we take what they say seriously and apply it to ourselves without giving an excuse, without giving a challenge, without becoming argumentative. Because they are those who will one day have to give an account for how they led us and how we lived as Christians under their rule. And the point is, the elders bear a great responsibility. One day, Jesus Christ will call your elders before His great white throne, and He will put the question to them, what did you do for my sheep? How did you take care of my sheep? How did my sheep live as a result of your oversight? How did you do your work? And how did they prosper under it? Did they prosper or did they suffer? Did they grow or did they languish? What steps did you take? In the case of the disobedient, the rebellious, the suffering, the grieving, the perplexed, the lonely, the aged, the teenagers, the children. The elders will have to give an answer before their master. This is unbelievably serious business. And the point is this. We all, as members of the congregation, need to appreciate the responsibility that the elders have. We need to appreciate that they bear a heavy weight. And so out of love for them, out of gratitude for how they care for our souls and the work they do, we respond not just by showing them love, but by listening to them, obeying them, submitting to them. They have a hard and difficult calling. And God has given them as gifts to us. We don't deserve faithful elders. Realize that. You don't deserve faithful watching of your soul. You don't deserve men who will take the time to meet with you and help you and pastor you. And if that reality only sunk into our souls, we would have a better attitude towards these men who visit with us. You know, there are people who are simply living for the things of the world. They live for money. They don't truly care about anyone else. Not really. They are selfish. They are self-centered. They are egotistical. They can't be bothered to care for others. They're too busy. And even when they do show care, seem to show care for others, they're constantly commenting on how they're so busy and this is actually a burden for them to show care. But elders, faithful elders, are not that way. Elders give themselves willingly. They give themselves gladly. Elders love those whom others might simply say they're not worthy of love. Why bother? Most of the work that your elders do is not seen by the vast majority of the congregation. Our thankfulness for our elders and for the blessings we enjoy through them, our thankfulness ought to be expressed by what the apostle commands the saints to whom he writes. Obey them and have and submit to them. They care for your souls. Congregation, I remember when my firstborn child was born. About an hour after her birth, I went outside of the hospital all by myself just to catch some fresh air and sit on a bench. And I sat on the bench and I just broke down a little and cried because I was suddenly so impressed with the weight of the calling God has just given to raise up a person, His child, in the fear of His name, to care for the soul of this person. Godly husbands feel that same way with regard to their wives, whom God has graciously given them. And faithful elders feel that same way with regard to the stupendous calling of caring for nothing else than the apple of God, nothing less than the apple of God's eye. They know their calling is a hard one, a high one. Elders have to watch the Word of God. They have to bring it properly. They have to be in it, meditating day and night. Elders have to watch Christ as a servant watches the hand of his master. Elders have to reflect Him. Elders have to watch themselves so that they are blameless and remain blameless. And the elders all the while, too, have to watch over the flock. It's only by a special portion of God's grace and Spirit that elders can carry out their callings. Our calling is not to be a grief to them. Our calling is to honor them and to yield to their good instruction. I think in all of this, it's also very important to remember the context of the book of Hebrews. And if only we knew the context better, this point could be driven home more. The saints in the book of Hebrews were tempted to turn from the path of Christianity. They were tempted to doubt God's word. They were tempted to doubt that Jesus was an all-sufficient Savior, that he was the all-sufficient sacrifice and high priest and mediator. And the apostle exhorts the congregation to keep the faith. And the letter of Hebrews is full of pointed exhortations. In Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, he writes, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." In Hebrews 10, verse 39, to pick out just one more, the apostle writes, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." He's encouraging them. "But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul." This was the issue. The Hebrews were on the brink of making shipwreck of their faith. And here at the very end of the letter, Paul is exhorting them, "Listen to your elders." No less than three times does he mention the elders in this chapter. He's never once mentioned the elders before. Now, three different times in this last chapter, he says, "Listen to them. They care for your souls. They are working for your salvation. Trust them. Yield to them." The elders know that they have to give an account of your soul one day, of how they cared for your souls. So submit to them and obey their good and godly instruction and receive their comforting words. Not only that, but the saints in the book of Hebrews were being persecuted. That was part of their struggle, heavily persecuted. And here at the very end of the letter, the apostle is telling them, obey your elders, submit to them. It might mean more persecution. They might say, distance yourselves from the teachings of your family and your friends who reject Christ as the Messiah and who continue to walk in sin. It might mean more persecution from those whom you love. It might mean agonizing suffering, but your elders care for your soul. And where you need to repent, where the elders call you to repent, remember, they care for your soul. As those who must give an account, obey them. Allow yourselves to be persuaded by them. Don't raise up arms against them. They bear a heavy responsibility and they know it. They are faithful. So your calling is to believe them, trust them, be persuaded by them, and truly profit from them. That's the reason we must obey those who have the rule over us. And then finally, we look at the aim. Notice once more the text. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. This is more pastoral than we might appreciate. Paul knows their circumstances. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. And now notice this. For that is unprofitable for you. That tells us the aim, the purpose, the goal of this command and obeying it. Obey your elders, submit to them, trust them, be persuaded by them as they bring you God's word so that you might profit from them. You need profit. And actually the term there is a financial word to profit, borrowing a word from the marketplace, to profit from them. Especially as you're struggling, especially as you have your sinful natures, especially as you need comfort and encouragement, this is what you need to do so that you profit. The entire reason Paul writes this verse is again so that the Hebrews to whom he writes might profit. That's his aim. When a congregation, when individuals do not yield to and listen to their faithful spiritual leaders, well, that leads to great grief for the leaders, and that is unprofitable for you. A church that is obedient to the Word of God, church members that are thankful for the instruction given by their leaders and soak it in and live according to it, that's a joy to the elders. And the result is that those elders will be encouraged to work even more diligently and keep up their faithful labors, not just with you, but with others in the church, because they know that those faithful labors are received and they are profitable for you. But when the elders do their work and it's not received, when it's shunned, and when excuses are given and people try to argue and they're combative, then the elders don't even want to do their work. They still do it. They still do it. But they do it with grief. And that's not profitable for the church. That's not profitable for you. That's not profitable for the whole fellowship of the church. That's not profitable for our witness outside the congregation. It's not profitable for your own spiritual walk with the Lord. An individual in the church who does not yield himself to the instruction and admonition of the church will not grow in the grace and knowledge of God. He may think he already has much grace, but he will not grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Rather, he will be exposed. He will be a prey to Satan. His soul will grow bitter. He will turn to the idols of the heart. And even those around him will begin to distance themselves from him. That's what happens. Because he's becoming miserable and agitated. And then that man's own soul will be in danger of falling into eternal condemnation. Beloved, this is an important word for us today. Your elders, your pastor, want your salvation. They serve for your salvation. And we thank God. I thank God for the measure of grace reflected in the lives of the members of this congregation. I thank God that I can continue my labors here among you joyfully. But the reality is, just as the Hebrews needed to persevere and grow, so it's also with God's people today. May God continue to cultivate among all of us, first and foremost, the office bearers. But then may God continue to cultivate among all of us an attitude of love, humility, thankfulness, and a yielding to His Word. And then may we taste and see the joys that are experienced in the way of submitting and yielding to God's Word. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray, bless our office bearers. We pray for them that they might truly reflect Christ in all His beauty and wisdom and love and compassion. May we see Christ through them and be encouraged and comforted. Be near unto us, Father, that the office bearers might see Christ in us, that they might see Christ in all His beauty through us, reflected in our talk, in our behavior, and that they might be humbled all the more to serve us faithfully and zealously. May Christ be seen here in this congregation. May He rule in our hearts, each one of us. And may we, as we see Christ, be moved to thank Christ and exalt Him and to exalt Thy glorious and marvelous name. Bless this preaching. May we indeed have heard Christ speak to us in this preaching. May we submit to the yoke of Christ, knowing that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. May we learn of Him, Father, and submit ourselves and not be stiff-necked. We pray this because we are prone to it. Bless us, Father, in Thy grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen.